Good morning. Tori Poppy. I am Pastor Val's sister. And I'm going to share with you today, first a book, Tear Soup. It's a recipe for healing after loss. And then I have a few things to say after that. Tear Soup, a recipe for healing after loss. There once was an old and somewhat wise woman whom everyone called Grandy. She'd just suffered a big loss in her life. Pops, her husband, suffered the same loss, but in his own way. This is the story of how Grandy faced her loss by making tear soup. For many years, the custom of making tear soup had been forgotten. As people's lives became more rushed, they found it much easier to pull soup in a can from the shelf and put it on the stove. But several years ago, Grandy got a taste of a well-seasoned tear soup. One of her friends made it from scratch after her child died. As soon as Grandy tasted the rich flavor of that carefully made soup, she promised herself never again to assume that quicker was better. Because of her great loss, Grandy knew this time her recipe for tear soup would call for a big pot. With a big pot, she would have plenty of room for all the memories, all the misgivings, all the feelings and all the tears she needed to stew in the pot over time. She put on her apron because she knew it could get messy. It seems that grief is never clean and people feel misunderstood. Feelings get hurt and wrong assumptions are made all over the place. To make matters worse, grief always takes longer to cook than anyone wants it to. And then Grandy started to cry. At first, she sobbed. Sometimes she wept quietly. And sometimes when she was in a safe place where no one could hear her, she even wailed. Grandy knew she had to make much of this part of the soup alone. She learned from past experiences that most people don't like being around tears. Her friends would worry if they knew how many tears Grandy's recipe called for this time. So the old and somewhat wise woman reflected on her own special recipe as she looked down into the large overflowing pot of memories. It was a task she would repeat many times during the next few months. Grandy winced when she took a taste of the soup. All she could taste was salt from her teardrops. It tasted bitter, but she knew this is where she had to start. And for now, it was the only thing on her menu. There were things that Grandy never wanted to forget. These included the good times and the bad times, the silly and the sad times. With her arms full of memories, Grandy made many trips to the kitchen. One at a time, she slowly stirred all her precious and not so precious memories into the pot. But eventually, she ran out of things to add. Grandy's arms ached, and she felt stone cold and empty. There were no words to describe the pain she was feeling. What's more, when she looked out the window, it surprised her to see how the rest of the world was going on as usual, and her world had stopped. Her grandson, Chester, who just wanted his Grandy to be happy again, hoped his chocolate drops would make her feel better. Mrs. Blumklotz, Miss Chadwick, and Mr. Long, all brave yet fearful neighbors, dropped by to see how Grandy was doing. They filled the air with words, but none of their words took the smell of tear soup away. Grandy was gracious because she knew how helpless her friends felt. They wanted to fix her, but they couldn't. All Grandy really needed from them at that moment was a knowing look and a warm hug. There were also days when Grandy hungered for a thoughtful ear. Sometimes she would ask total strangers, "Care to join me in a bowl of tear soup?" "No, thanks," most would reply. "I don't have time for tear soup today." Even some of Grandy's friends hurried past her house and pretended not to notice the aroma of tear soup coming through her open door. Grandy found that most people can tolerate only a cup of someone else's tear soup. The giant bowl where Grandy could repeatedly share her sadness in great detail was left for a few willing friends. "I'm here! I'm here," Midge cried. "I got here as fast as I could. I'll be here whenever you need me." "What a tragedy. I'm so sorry you're having to make such a big pot of soup." Oh, what a relief. Grandy knew she didn't have to be careful with what she said around Midge. Midge wouldn't try to talk her out of anything she was feeling. And Grandy could even laugh and not worry that Midge would assume that Grandy was over her grief. "Sorry I couldn't get here sooner," said Midge. "No problem," replied Grandy. "I've had plenty of help, but most of these friends will be history pretty soon. They'll be over my tragedy long before I am. But I know you'll still be around." "I don't know what to say, but I'll be glad to listen," Midge said tenderly. "Come on and tell me about it while we make some bread to go along with your soup." These two friends who had shared 1,000 laughs and just as many tears pounded at the bread dough together. "I feel like I'm unraveling," Grandy said. "I'm mad. I'm confused. I can't make any decisions. Nobody can make me feel good. I'm a mess. I just didn't realize it would be this hard. Why don't we go for a walk while we wait for the bread to rise?" Midge suggested. "I know exercise is supposed to help me, but I feel like I have concrete blocks strapped to my legs. We'd better not go too far, or you'll have to carry me back," moaned Grandy. Mrs. Cries-a-Lot called and reminded Grandy that she had been making tear soup for years and would be more than glad to come right over and show her the right way to make it. "Thanks, but no," said Grandy. "This pot has my name on it." Grandy knew better than to let Mrs. Cries-a-Lot or anyone else tell her what she should do to get through this terrible loss. Next, her recipe called for comfort soup food. For Grandy, this meant mashed potatoes and ice cream. Comfort food always makes you feel better, at least for a little while. It gets past that big lump in your throat when other foods just can't. "I think it needs some chocolate too. After all, it's her soup." Grandy kept going to church, even though she was mad at God. Sometimes she yelled at God and asked, "Why did this happen?" And sometimes she demanded to know where God was when she was feeling so all alone. Still, Grandy trusted God, even if she didn't understand God. She sensed that there were some people in church that believed if she really had faith, she would be spared deep sorrow, anger, and loneliness. But Grandy kept reminding herself to be grateful for all of the emotions that God had given her. On some afternoons, people would ask questions like, "Is it soup yet?" Or, "How long is this going to take? You've been at this for a month now. Don't you think it's time to get out of the kitchen?" Grandy would fume at the caller's advice, but she looked forward to getting mail each day. She dreaded the day when no more sympathy cards would come. When she was alone and needed to think, she found it helpful to keep notes on her soup making. On 10-6, "Today, I'm upset that I'm having to make this soup." 11-21, "I don't remember anyone. I don't think anyone remembers that I'm making soup from scratch." 11:29, what's the use? Life seems so hard now. And then 3:28, I'm beginning to like the taste of this soup. I think I could live on it forever. Just stay there, Colin. Thank goodness Grandy and Pops had been married a long time. They already knew that each other's tear soup would be different. Secretly, Grandy wished Pops would put a little more flavoring in his soup, but he doesn't want to. And he's perfectly content to dine alone and sip his own soup. There it is, Colin. Making tear soup is hard work. Sometimes it was all she could think about. Even the things Grandy used to love to do, she didn't have the energy for. Nor did she care about anymore. Some of Grandy's friends over the years had not tended to their pots of tear soup. Their soup boiled over and the pot scorched. What a mess. It took them a long time to clean up their pots and to start over. The smell of burnt soup still lingers in some of their homes. Grandy knew there were times when she needed to take a break from her soup making. Even though it was hard to do, she forced herself to get away. Grandy heard that a neighbor was having to take her turn in the kitchen. Some people thought that this neighbor was eating too much tear soup. So Grandy, being an old and somewhat wise woman, called and invited her to a special soup gathering where it's not bad manners to cry in your soup or to have second servings. Soon, the thoughtful cook sat at Grandy's table and discussed the process of making tear soup. There are some parts that require help from friends, and there are some parts you just have to do alone. They shared stories about soup making that they wouldn't dare tell anyone else for fear of being judged a bad cook. They all laughed knowingly when Grandy remarked that how, on days when she was daydreaming while driving, she was glad that it seemed the car knew where she wanted to go. These people had become Grandy's new best friends. One day as Grandy and Chester were going for a drive, Chester asked, "Mom says you've been making tear soup. What does she mean?" Well, tear soup is a way for you to sort through all the different types of feelings and memories you have when you lose someone or something special. Remember when your baby brother died just before he was born, and your mom sat for days holding his blanket and weeping? She was making tear soup. You made tear soup yourself by acting out your own disappointment when you shouted at Jason, wishing his brother would die too. Remember when Billy's dog died and he didn't want to play with you? Not feeling like having fun is one of the ingredients of tear soup. And remember when Aunt Meg got divorced and they had to move? There was a lot of tear soup simmering in that house. Some days when you're making tear soup, it's even hard to breathe. Some days you feel like running away. You just hope that a better day comes along soon. And then comes one of the hardest parts of making tear soup. It's when you decide it may be okay to eat something instead of soup all the time. The next morning, as Grandy was cleaning up, Chester asked her if she was done making tear soup. "Well, I don't think you ever actually finish. The hard work of making this batch of tear soup is almost done, though. I'll put the rest in the freezer and pull it out from time to time and have a little taste." So, what else have you learned by making tear soup, Grandy? "I've learned that grief, like a pot of soup, changes the longer it simmers and the more things you put into it. I've learned that sometimes people say unkind things, but they really don't mean to hurt you. And most importantly, I've learned that there's something down deep within all of us ready to help us survive the things we think we can't survive. Grandy, you know so much. What will I do after you die? Don't worry. I will leave me my recipe of tear soup for you. So I'd like to share some of my pots of tear soup with you today. One of the first pots I remember making, I was 8 years old. My parents were fighting. I don't remember what about. But if I could just distract my dad, maybe it would stop. I showed him my art project of the week. I tried. He didn't have time, he said. My mom is screaming, "Make time, Val, make time!" I ran to my room crying. Making tear soup became easier as I was a teen. You see, by then, I had been given plenty of ingredients. Divorce of parents, loss of my dad in life. I lived in a different culture. I was a victim of sexual abuse. Lots of misguided advice. Teen pregnancy. Alcoholism. Alienation. And I learned to make small pots of angry, cheap, often rushed burnt soup that sometimes I forced others to eat with me as a condition of love. I hated my soup. I hated myself. After many years and many pots of soup, I started with some anger management classes and some healing classes. Lots of prayer and accountability with special people helping me. Today, my tear soup looks different than it was when I was younger. You see, I found with healings of wounded feelings and emotions comes a freedom to stir slowly, to simmer my soup with patience, letting the Lord taste, getting tips and hints from others who have made tear soup themselves. Losing jobs, relationships, possessions, opportunities, children, parents, other friends and family members, innocence, and my health. We can choose to make bitter, nasty soup with all the stuff we've lost. Or we can choose to take and make the best soup we can with what life gives us. So others can see the hope we have in Jesus. Now, I still like to share my tear soup with others at times, but I don't feel the need to punish people with bad soup. Oh, I sometimes still share bad memories, but I can season them with grace because that is the best and most important ingredient of them all. You see, I receive it daily from my friend, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please feel free to ask me about my special of the day. I'd love to share it with you. In a minute, there are going to be some questions projected up on the projection screen, as well as there are slips of paper on the table to share your own tear soup ingredients with us. Anything you put into the pot will be lovingly prayed over. And if you would like more information on grieving, please speak to Pastors Frank, Val, John, or myself. We look forward to helping you make better batches of your own tear soup. 1 Peter 1:3-7 says, "What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Lord Jesus. Because Jesus is raised from the dead, we have been given brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And that future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of grievance in the meantime. Pure gold, when put in the fire, comes out proved pure. Genuine faith, put through this suffering, comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps all of this up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory." Let's pray. Oh, awesome Father God, I thank you for this day. And I thank you for this opportunity to encourage my brothers and sisters as we come together, we learn together about each other. In that process, we also learn about you and your love. So, Lord, I just pray that you would be with us now as we come together, brothers and sisters, iron striking iron, that we would be proved genuine as evidence of your victory, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.